Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves joins us now. Sir, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Happy New Year's Eve.
No doubt about it. Happy New Year's. We all ring in the new year tomorrow. And, of course, obviously, Merry Christmas to you retroactively, if I can speak for a living.
we're both struggling.
I know. Let's dive in a little bit. The free parking on Palafox, the street's going to close Monday at 6 a.m. You guys want cars off by Sunday evening. You want all of the paraphernalia on the sidewalk off by Friday. 4 o'clock, I think, is what Adrian Walker said in the press conference yesterday, which all makes perfect sense to me. The free parking, the 400 or so spaces, where are those spaces going to be? What does that mean?
It's really going to be in the general surrounding area. It'll be both up on parkpensacola.com and the new palafox.com before the closure takes place. But it is really kind of spread. If I were to try to cap it, it would be basically parking spaces along the east side, Jefferson, Garden Street, North Palafox, that isn't affected. It's basically really the closest areas to Palafox that are on street parking that aren't affected. Our first conversation way back.
Uh-oh. Call back, DC. Is he still there? Would you answer that, John, and put him on hold? All right, there we go. Do it. John doesn't know which button to press. Mayor, are you there?
Hey.
He's there.
I'm here.
There we got it. He's trying to be fast. I get it. Sorry about that. Go on. And we first started talking about this.
Sorry. So it's the spaces in and around the construction site, ultimately.
Right.
It's really the closest ones. We had a conversation about the garage at one point. There's some complications with that, with people that have parking permits that for the nearby businesses.
Okay.
We didn't want to mess that up either. So so the garage, I believe, will still operate as normal, but for the most part, and of course, there's free parking up top during the day, as there always has been. But the safe thing to assume, and of course, there'll be signage out there for anybody coming downtown, is really everything on the Jefferson Garden and North Palafox is a good basic synopsis, but we'll have it down to a detailed map for you on both of those websites.
And the key, I think we probably cannot say this enough, the key is that all the businesses will remain open, all of the sidewalks will remain open, you will be able to get where you want to go on foot. The only thing you can't do is drive a car on Palafox or across Palafox until they finish the segments, right?
That is correct. And I used the analogy yesterday. If you follow any type of news in New Orleans, or if you've been to New Orleans in the last, I don't know, 50 years, every time in the French Quarter, there's a road that where you don't even really notice it. The road is closed because you're not thinking about driving. You're thinking about walking in the French Quarter.
Right.
So where the sidewalks are fully open, they certainly are not giving out 412 free spaces or doing websites or doing marketing or doing all of those things. So, I certainly stand behind the proactive effort that our team has put together to make this as seamless as possible. So, but absolutely, at least six feet of the sidewalk on both sides, including connectors. You're going to be able to, as a pedestrian, actually walk across the site to get to either side of Palafox as well. You're not going to have to go all the way around or anything like that.
What is the expected time frame for opening up the ends at the north end and the south end, the garden end and the main street end? I know the overall project is going to be, 5 months, 6 months in that vicinity, but what are we to expect in terms of vehicular access to the extremities?
Are you talking about just the first block of each side?
Yeah, because I know you're going to open up when you can, and you're going to open up at either
correct
end going in, basically, until you finally can open it all up in the middle. But what's the timeline for getting pieces of it open to vehicular traffic?
There's no hard timelines. Again, if you recall, that was kind of part of the negotiation with the contractor, was to say, hey, look, give us pieces back while you can.
Right.
Ultimately, we understand that May 24th is the incentivized deadline, but there's no reason to keep it closed if you don't have to. So it's hard to say. I mean, obviously, if it was only a week before May 24th, we'd probably just wait.
What's the value, right?
Or 6 weeks before, certainly we would open it. So, but the key is, it's not just getting that piece of Palafox open. We got to get the cross street open, right? Because
right
if not, you have no circulation. You just have a cul-de-sac.
Right. We don't want dead ends and people can't turn around.
Move people. Exactly. So we'd have to, the key there is the Romana side. So from honestly, from a driving standpoint, driving on Palafox, which I'll be honest with you, it's never my biggest advice right now. Even in non-construction times, it's busy. People are parallel parking. That light is like 5 seconds long at Garden Street. It might be more limiting, but I think the key is trying to get all that construction activity, fencing, all that stuff out of there as soon as we can, to enjoy the new stormwater, enjoy the new ADA accessibility and crosswalks and everything else.
You know, one last question on this subject. I was kind of talking through it earlier today, and I am assuming, and all the businesses are assuming, and I think all of the discussion has been assuming that businesses are going to lose money in the process, no matter how much we do to try to help them, that's likely. But logically speaking, it's also possible businesses would hold even, like normal. It's possible, logically, that they might make more money, whether because a pedestrian zone on Palafox turns out to be a better business decision than a car zone, and or because people are pitching in and trying to support local. I think I wouldn't venture much money on that bet, of course, but I do think it's going to be an interesting source of information for the experiment, because people, of course, historically have asked, would we not be better if we made a downtown pedestrian zone instead, right?
Exactly, and I think that's why we have to not look at this as a 5-month inconvenience. We have to look at this as a 25-year convenience. It's a 25-year investment in what's going to happen for everybody, for safety when visitors and residents are down there, to business owners. And you've heard me talk about this over the many, many months we've discussed this project. If you look up the data point of dwell time, there is mounds of data about, if it's more comfortable for me to sit on a park bench or walk around with downtown with my kids, what am I going to do? I'm going to spend more money. If it feels like it's a thoroughfare and I've only got 3 feet of sidewalks going by people's picnic benches, I'm less likely to be dwelling, therefore less likely to be window shopping or anything else.
Yeah.
So there's lots of data that supports it. As a matter of fact, and I know obviously two very different cities, very different functions, but it's topical. I think the Seaside Institute just posted in their market square, they took away parking on the north side and turned it into seating areas, pedestrian. And they're talking about what a transformation it's been, for access, for safety and all those things. And there's a million examples, including in cities more like ours, that's why people are investing in this. And that's why people, if they want it to be safer, they want it to be somewhere that's easier to enjoy. And they wanted to be able to stand up infrastructure-wise to the challenges of the next couple of generations.
Yeah, I mean, we were just in St. Augustine to see the Christmas lights, and it was really cool. The bulk of the area that is normally an auto zone has been shut down for pedestrians only for the lights. But the places that are just pedestrian only anyway, I mean, it's amazing the number of shops and restaurants and bars and, all kinds of stuff in their pedestrian-only zone that is, I envy us having something like that here. Again, not advocating that we need to turn Palafox into that, but, it's food for thought, for sure, about, as you say, how people behave as consumers when they're in a place where they don't feel like they're trying to get hustled out of it by the cars or the way the cars behave. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much. We got to talk about the Pensacola Police Chief. We have talked a little bit about this in the past. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of different events coming up. There's going to be for the public event, there's going to be questions. There's a couple of different ways that this is being done. There's going to be a thing for the business owners and so forth. I do think there is definitely a question that people are asking, and I know you've seen some of the Facebook posts from the people in or formerly in PPD. There's a lot of question around, why didn't we just hire Eric Goss? I mean, if he turns out to be the guy, I get it, but, we did this once before. Kevin Christman didn't get the job. Instead, we got Chief Randall. There was a lot of controversy surrounding that still to this day, I think. And so the concern is, why go through this process and why not just hire the person that we know?
Well, lots of reasons. Number one, public safety is our top priority. And here's what I expect from the search, regardless of who the winner of the search is, who's offered the position, that I really expect two things. Number one, all of the public engagement that's happening, as you well know, more than any of the 18 other city departments, is part of the job. So anybody who's going to be fit for the job would certainly need to be able to, in this platform, in this area, be able to communicate, convince, give a positive impression to the citizens. And so we certainly are not required absolutely to have public events, not to have a public forum. We're not required to do that. Ultimately, the mayor or the city administrator could, just like the Parks and Rec department or the IT department, can select and then need a vote of the council to do whatever they want. But as we know, public safety is the number one issue, and I feel that the openness and transparency of being able to hear from the next chief one way or the other is important, because everybody comes with different perspectives. Secondly, I can't speak to what happened before. I wasn't here. I didn't select the finalists. I didn't have this scoring rubric of why the finalists were the finalists. As a matter of fact, I couldn't name you other than Chief Randall who the other finalists were. I don't even know. Chrisman had dropped out, in that process. That being said, the way I see it is we want the best person for the job, and the best person for the job could be external, and the best person for the job could be internal. There's no doubt about that. And to me, if we want the best person for the job, then why are we afraid of a process? I guess is my question. So whether you support Eric, who's I have the utmost respect for, and I know so many people do in our community, or not, I feel like I don't understand why there should be a fear of a process to allow the community to engage, to allow the public to engage, and to ensure that we pick the best person for the job. If this was any other department, would someone say to me, hey, Mayor, why don't you, I don't know why you don't ask anybody's opinion. Why don't you just pick the person you know the most? I usually would get criticized for something like that, actually, I think in most cases. So, I think, listen, we have three good candidates. It's not an indictment of or a compliment to anyone. This is a front-facing process for a very, very important position. And I'm looking forward to the conversations on 13th and 14th.
I think that the answer to that, which is does not end the conversation, but the response people would give to that is, well, you know, we've had a 20-year interview for Eric, and somebody might show good for 10 hours, and they may or may not be able to adapt to our culture once they get here. We've had a massive long interview with him over all this time, and we know he adapts well to this culture. And so those two unknowns have kind of been worked out of the system. And I know this is a sort of a philosophical perspective, in hiring. But I think that's kind of the, maybe somebody flubs his oral exam. That doesn't mean he wouldn't be a great chief. Somebody else is really good at the oral exam. And, okay, does that mean he's going to work as a chief? So I know you've thought through that. It's, raising the different opinion that I'm sure some people have. I wanted to ask about the tree, the Belvedere Park tree, because you explained this yesterday, but for people who have been following this story, it turns out that they've admitted it was a mistake, but it also turns out it's not technically a heritage tree, and so there's a bit of uncertainty whether there can be any fines applied. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. I do put this in the category of, putting me in good perspective that we don't have huge problems in the city. This is a 6-foot long piece of tree, obviously, that inadvertently was cut, not the entire tree, a limb of a tree, and by one of our contractors.
When I looked at it with Jen Brer, she made it, I thought there were multiple branches that were cut, even though it was the one big one, but there was a lot of trimming that took place around the periphery.
Well, for the sake of, in my mind, I would have to have Parks and Rec verify the number of ones that aren't in discussion. Obviously, the only thing that's on my desk is the discussion over the potential heritage designation of this tree,
okay,
and what the potential fine would be.
Okay.
So, but point being, obviously, it was inadvertent. The contractor reached out and apologized about that. But yes, we're going through getting to finality on what the designation of the tree is based on our normal definition, as it pertains in our ordinances. So what I said yesterday and certainly would repeat is just because they've apologized doesn't mean no action will be taken. We will take whatever action is permitted under the ordinance.
Okay.
So if that means there can be $10 fine will be $10 fine. A $1,000 fine could be a $1,000 fine. That doesn't, just because, you know, it's been acknowledged, doesn't mean we aren't going to take any action whatsoever. But compared to the initial reaction that this was a heritage tree and all that, as we've gone to further investigation, it may not have that designation, according to our folks. So all I can say at this point is, we're going to do to the extent what we're permitted to do as it pertains to punishment or fines for this action. But it is important, obviously, as you can imagine from my desk, it's important for one of our contractors to acknowledge that this happened, that they apologize, that it was certainly not malicious, and that this was an inadvertent thing of an employee trying to do something that a citizen requested and just not understanding the protocol of how that type of decision would need to operate.
It's not a huge thing, but it is a successful thing, and we're just totally out of time. But the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and the skate park both have Portland Lose in and active, right?
Yep, that's right. Both in the ground, now we have bathrooms at these nice parking facilities that we invite people to.
And the third one, the park behind TT Wentworth. Where was the third one going to be? Bruce Beach? I just can't remember.
Yeah, it was going to be there. ECUA has some issues just logistically putting it there.
Okay.
What I'd say right now, we have two left. We're considering both Seville Square because of all the activity that happens there.
Okay.
And we're also, of course, waiting to see what happens at Veterans Memorial Park.
Okay.
That's way over budget, and that might be an area that we could make.
Okay.
So at least provide that handicap accessible restroom at VMP.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing that. And obviously, we all want a solution at Veterans Memorial Park. Very good. We always like to end with a little bit of a lightning round for the mayor. First question, it is New Year's Eve. Do you have a New Year's resolution? Are you the kind of person who makes New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, I do. I haven't decided what. I have a few more hours.
So your resolution is not to procrastinate next year.
I never really get creative with it. I try to get to, I do lots of gym trips in January.
Okay, I see. All right, so health-related matters. I got you. When you leave the home for vacation, do you unplug or disconnect or discontinue water service, electronics, nothing at all? What do you do to prepare your home when you leave for a week?
Yeah, no, rarely. I don't have enough bandwidth in my day to do normal stuff. I certainly don't have enough time to get when I get back to then call and sit on hold for however long. If it was something major, then.
Do you unplug anything?
Not that I
that's the John Pickens approach. See, the mayor's on your side, John. Yeah, you guys do it the same way. I like that. And exactly. When it comes to a piece of cake in a pan or brownies, center, edge, or corner?
You know what? I heard you mention this several days back or whatever. I absolutely like, it's two different. I go center for brownie and edge for the extra icing on the cake.
Oh, you and my wife agree. Okay, so you want the icing on the edge, but you want the center mushy, squishy part for the brownie.
I don't need any crusty. I don't need any crusty brownies on the corner. I mean, I don't know who would take a corner brownie. That's me,
most of the civilized universe. But you are once again in complete alignment with John Pickens. So, if there's a job opening and you decide things don't go your way next year, then you can come work for me
over there in the studio. I knew there was smart one. Person. So.
Nice, well done. I appreciate that, Mr. Mayor. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next week. As always, thank you so much for the time.
All right, absolutely. Thanks.